Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. We give all honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we're thankful, grateful, glad to be with you this Sunday morning. To be blessed by and through God's Word. I've been told in the past that some people were surprised that I would make that statement, but they need to understand that. Any word that the Lord allows me to say to you, He's blessed me with it as well, or He's instructed me with it. If it's a word of instruction, yes, it's for me as well as for you. It could be a word of exhortation, it can be instruction, whatever it is, but I, like the word says, that I'm usually first partakers of that fruit. You know, it usually ministers to me in that capacity before he allows me to minister it to you. And for that, I'm grateful. Before we go any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful. We're grateful, Lord, for you sparing us to see another day, for you watching over us as we slumbered and slept through the night, and for you blessing us to be able to be here this day. I pray, Lord, that you would bless me to the point that you allow me to be an instrument used in your hand to give forth that which you would have given today, Father, through you, your word. I pray that I'll be able to do this, Father, void of my vanity and my pride and my ego. But Lord, knowing that my desire always is that some soul, Heavenly Father, will be edified, sanctified, and that you, through it all, be glorified. But this is my prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today, I'm going to go through some scripture. Maybe in a way we haven't done in a while, but it's important. Important. We're going to be looking in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, this 22nd chapter. And we're going to be looking in the book of Revelation, the second chapter. Now, there, before we even open up the book, there are still many believers who are looking at the state of the world. And as they're looking at it, they're just saying that they believe the Lord must be soon to come. I'm one that believed that as well. The Lord is soon to come. But, you know, believers were saying that, you're saying 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago. You know, this might well be true. But isn't this also kind of a sad commentary on how believers must be dropping the ball? I mean, if things are going so bad, some might say, well, that's because the believers aren't doing their job. That could be true. But at the same token, it could be a yes, we are doing our job. We are witnessing. We are ministering the word. But the ones that we're ministering it to, the ones that we're preaching it, teaching it, witnessing it too, are not receiving it. And as we look in the scriptures, in the past, we've seen this so many times. The Lord has put his word out there through different people, prophets, judges, kings, ministers, other believers, and the list can go on and on and on. And folks just did not receive it. When we look into the scriptures, we see what's happening, what's going to happen in days to come, and folks still won't receive it. That much hate is in so many people. We read about the plagues and that have been put on people. I'm just going with just that. You're trying to tell me that you would need all 10 of those plagues put on you before you would realize that God is in control? And then, even if you did hold out for all of them, you're trying to tell me you still wouldn't turn to God. And that is what is going to happen. And that is what did happen. When we look at what is going to happen, when we talk about the tribulation period, and there were still folks who will not come. Beloved, if you're one of those that are witnessing, teaching, preaching, singing, whatever gift the Lord has given you, and you use that to minister to folks, and they still don't receive. Don't grow weary in your well-doing. Don't grow weary. Don't get tired. Don't give up. You just keep doing that which the Lord told you to do. There are rewards waiting for you. And secondly, you don't know who all is hearing what you're saying, what you're preaching, what you're teaching, what you're singing, what pamphlets, what tracts you're giving out. You don't know who's receiving it. You may never see the fruit of your labor here. You might not ever see it, but that don't mean it's not growing. That don't mean it's not fruit growing from the seeds that you planted. So don't give up. Don't give up. You know, I still love, and I'm challenged by a song that Denise Williams made. I love it. Like I said, I still love it, and it still challenges me also. Words as simple as this. It says, if we are the light, then why is the world so dark? It's a challenge. To me, it's a challenge. I understand from what like I just pointed out in the scriptures, that there are many that's not going to receive it, but it also challenges me to make sure that I'm letting my light shine. It makes me make sure to do what I can do, to do that which the Lord has assigned me to do. Again, it reminds me of those songs we learned way back when I was in Vacation Bible School. You've heard me say this before. Brighten the corner where you are. We used to sing that song. The light that I'm shining may not illuminate the whole world, but it can sure illuminate that little corner where I am, right in the corner where you are. Let's move forward. We understand that the church has been infiltrated by unbelievers. We knew that well before Constantine tried to make everyone a Christian. And that's a debate, and I don't really debate the word, but that's a discussion and a message for another time. But I know there's so many people that believe that Constantine was indeed a Christian, and like I said, that's a message and a lesson for another time. Now this is called, but this infiltration of folks coming into the church has caused a problem with the effectiveness of the church. I mean, having so many fake Christians, even one fake Christian in a local church, causes problems with that local church physically, as far as going out and actually physically doing ministry. He has a problem there. Because you got some of these fake Christians that actually influence others not to do certain things. You know, the church is going out and we're giving out tracts. Oh man, I ain't doing that. It's too cold. And in that neighborhood, oh, ain't nobody gonna be out, and they don't really want the word, and yada yada yada. And that one person that does that, but that one person may have just throughout something that affected two other people, three other people, 10 other people. So now this ministry that you're undertaking has been cut short of people because of this one person's influence, this one fake Christian. So yes, these fake Christians, they impede ministries physically and spiritually. Oh yeah, damn is the spirits of so many other people. Just that one, if you just got that one fake in there telling folks and disheartening people, making them feel like, disgruntled, defeated, disappointed. What's the use? Ain't no sense telling these people this. Ain't no sense going there and sharing that with them. They're not going to receive it. Oh, I'm staying in my bed. I'm not going out. I'll make an excuse why I can't go, why I didn't come, and whatever. So yes, we know that with these fake Christians, it doesn't allow the local churches to minister to their fullest. Because, now watch that. Watch what I'm getting ready to say. Because a lot of these local churches have allowed these false Christians to even take positions of influence in their churches. We have people who come to the church, maybe they're gifted. Maybe they're gifted musically. Pastor doesn't have an organist, or we have a person who comes in and say they want to play their bass, or they may have drums or whatever it is to help enhance the worship experience in the church. And oh man, the pastor is praising God, thanking God for this person. And right away, we put them right in position. Didn't ask them their church affiliation. Didn't really sometimes don't even ask them if they saved or not. We just have them come on in. Why in the world would you have an unsaved person in a position when which your whole ministry should be about is bringing folks to the Lord? If this person is not saved, then that's one right there that needs to be brought to the Lord. I'm not concerned about their gift. We know that gifts come without repentance. That person needs to be a minister to themselves before I can put you in that position of influence. I need to make sure that you're part of my family, that you're a family member, that you're saved, that you're one of us. But we so quick, too often, to put people, not just welcome them in. Oh, I want you to come in. I don't care if you're a thief. I don't care if you're the drug addict or whatever. Yes, this is the place for you to be. I'll be appalled to hear of a hospital that turned away alcoholics, drug addicts, people with different diseases and ailments. Why would you turn them away? This is what you're there for. This is what the church is here for. You come on in and let the word of God minister to you. This is the place for you to be. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm not going to put you up in the place position of influence where you have such a great influence on so many other believers. Like, in other words, like putting you up on the soapbox. You're not ready for that yet. You're not ready for that. I'm not going to put you there. Then am I saying that that person that comes there that's unsaved, but they're a great musician, I don't want them to play music? I do. But my first priority is to introduce you to the Lord. See what you, because see, you came here. You know that this is what we're about. We're about soul saving in this place. So if you want to come in and be a part of this, then be a part of it. Make sure your soul is saved. Amen. Let's understand our priorities. Let's understand that, yes, Until you're there, yes, you until you make that decision. My thing is, if I get you personally in my office or wherever it is I'm talking to you, I'm not going to let you walk out talking about, well, I got to figure out, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? The Lord put you here. You came here. You know what this place is about. It's nothing for you to think about. Make your decision. What did the prophet say to the people? Choose you this day. This is the day. All these other days, months, weeks have gone by. You have not been here, but this day you came here. Make your decision. And we still will stay there. And we'll stay there and we'll talk. But not, no, you don't need to go home and do what? You don't need to go anywhere. You're here. You came here. Somebody needed to hear that. That wasn't what I intended to give you all, but that's what the Lord intended for you to have. Somebody need to hear that. But in any case, let me move on, y'all, because I'm not trying to keep you hostage. You know that. You know that. Okay. As already stated, this is nothing new to the church. Just being infiltrated by fake Christians and all that is nothing new. Okay, y'all heard me mention it. Constantine, this is my second time mentioning him. For those of you who are wondering why I mentioned him, yes, I do believe he was a fake Christian. I do believe he was. A lot of people say, well, he did this, he did that, but they need to examine a little bit deeper into Constantine's life. I'm trying to stay away from him. Like I said, that's another lesson for another time. Okay, so I've already stated that it's nothing new for the faith being in the church. Now watch this. Okay, this is so serious that John was inspired to write letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Some of you are familiar with that. You've read them in the book of Revelation. Second, third, but even part of the fourth verse, chapters, you'll see these letters. Okay, but I want you to know something about that, and I'm not going to go real deep into this part of these letters. There's a whole lot of things about these letters that we don't usually talk about. But one thing I want to mention is that it's not like he wrote seven letters, sent one to this church, one to that church, another one to that one. No, he wrote these seven problems, these things that he felt inspired to write about, and he sent them to each one of the church, all of them. They got all seven of them. We're going to that again, deeper. Whenever you want to know about it more, if you don't examine it for yourself, and you want to know more about it, contact me. We'll go deeper into it. Okay, all right. So he sent each church this information, that the Lord gave him to give them, especially stating the problem the Lord had with each one. This too, and that he really didn't have a problem with. But that's, again, I'm trying to stay away from, stay right where I'm supposed to be at, y'all. Okay. All right. Now today we're looking at what the Lord had to say to the church at Pergamum. One of the seven. Okay. And see if this looks familiar to you. See what the Lord says about Pergamum looks familiar to you. Maybe in your own church, maybe in one of the family members' churches, or church you're thinking about joining up with, or fellowshipping with, or what have you. Just look at it, see what the Lord gives you from this, and as you do that, you think about you look at that in light maybe of the subject of what we're talking about today. Very simple subject. And it is, take the shade off of your light or else. Take the shade off of your light or else. He said, well, wait a minute, bro. Look like you're threatening us. Well, when you see what the Lord says in Revelation about this church, you think about You think about what I just said to you and what the Lord is saying in Revelation. But let's move out, because it's not just Revelation I told you we were going to look at. I told you we were going to look at the book of Numbers. And I'm going to go through it as quickly as the Lord allows. Okay, but I'm not going to rush like that either. I'm going to tell you that now. We need to learn how to take time. We set aside this time to worship and to hear what they say, the word of God, and take the time. As I say, from time to time, the Lord didn't say, to keep the Sabbath half day, to keep the Sabbath quarter day, to keep the Sabbath hour. This is the day that we've set aside, and we worship it as our Sabbath day. Then give God the time. Give him the time. Amen. Balaam said to God, this is the 22nd chapter of the book of Numbers. Balaam said to God, okay, Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent me this message. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to hear everything saying. Open up your Bible if you have to, again, if you're able to. Numbers, the 22nd chapter. Okay, we're starting at the 10th verse. We're starting right here at the 10th verse. Let me start that over for those of you who said, okay, I didn't tell you at first. I told you now. This is where we're at. Okay. Balaam said to God, don't let that run right by you. Balak son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent me this message. This is the message. A people that has come out of Egypt covers the face of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. Perhaps then I will be able to fight them and drive them away. Now, watch this 12 verse. Watch this 12 verses. One of the key verses I want you to get today. But God said to Balaam, do not go with them. You must not put a curse on these people because they are blessed. Okay, we keep moving. The next morning, Balaam got up and said to Balak's officials, go back to your own country, for the Lord had refused to let me go with you. So the Moabite officials returned to Balak and said, Balaam refused to come with us. Then Balak sent other officials, more numerous and more distinguished than the first ones. They came to Balaam and said, now watch what they said. This is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Do not let anything keep you from coming to me, because I will reward you handsomely and do whatever you say. Come and put a curse on these people for me. Balaam answered them, even if Balak gave me all the silver and gold in his palace, I could not do anything great or small to go beyond the command. Now watch what he says, of the Lord my God. Now spend the night here so that I can find out what else the Lord will tell me. That night, now watch this. This is another key verse I want you to remember. This 20th verse. Another key verse. That night, God came to Balaam and said, since these men have come to summon you, go with them. But do only what I tell you. Don't forget this 20th verse. Very important. That's Numbers, the 22nd chapter, the 10th through the 20th verses we just read. Gave you two key verses in there, that 12th and that 20th. Don't keep them bookmarked or whatever it is you do. Don't forget that. And also mentioned a little bit of the 16th verse where he says, do not let anything keep you from coming to me. Okay, I pointed them out. Okay. Now, the second chapter of Revelation. The 12th through the 16th verses. That's where we're at now. Okay. Now, I'm taking the time to read all this to y'all because I don't intend to keep you long. This is the longest part I intend to be. That's my intention. Okay, we'll see what happens. I'm being honest with you, but we'll see what happens. Okay, and the 12th verse reads like this: To the angel of the church in Pergamum, write. This is what he's saying to John. To the angel of the church in Pergamum, write. These are the words of him who has the sharp, double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. I love how the Lord always gives them the positive things that they're doing. Okay. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city, where Satan lives. Now watch this 14th verse. This is the key, another key verse. I've given you two keys and a piece of a verse that I want you to remember today. This 14th verse. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You're saying, oh boy, not one thing, not two things, but three. Well, just listen. I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak, and he's talking about Balaam. Balaam taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin, to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food that was sacrificed to idols, food that was set aside for their idols, and committed sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent. Now, this is what God said to him. Repent, therefore. Otherwise, I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And you wonder why I said, take the shade off your light, or else, what is the Lord saying to you right here? Repent, therefore. Otherwise, I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Beloved, I'm getting ready to go into the thing. I'm getting ready to move out. Y'all stay with me. I told you I ain't keeping you too long. Stay with me. Just got a few points I want to bring out. Okay, one. Remember that 12th verse? But God said to Balaam, do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed. What does that say to you? Remember how we talked about when Isaac blessed his children? And Jacob stole Cain's blessing. Cain asked him, do you just have one? And when Joseph, Jacob's mother was conspiring to have her son steal Cain's blessing, and Jacob was afraid that he might be cursed, she said, let the curse fall on me. She's willing to be cursed. Let us understand that there's cursing that can come from him. You see right here, the word of God coming to Balaam. No, don't curse them. He had the ability to put a curse on them. I'm not going deep into that. He said, don't curse them because they are blessed. Don't put a curse on them. They're blessed. They're blessed. I've blessed them. This causes a whole lot of discussion, I know, among y'all. We're not going to stay there. I'm going to hit this and I'm going to let it go. If you don't believe me, like I said, contact me. Okay? We know that the ability for Balaam to do what he does, the ultimate source comes from God himself. The same God that gave him the ability to be able to prophesy comes from God. We know that. Because there's only two sources. It could either come from God. You say, well, could it have come from Satan? No, not this gift. But that's a discussion that we're going to have to go into another time. The point I want you to understand, God said to Balaam, do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they're blessed. This is what the word that went out to Balaam. He told him not to go. And we read it in the scripture. Balaam told, sent the message back to them, y'all going back home. Y'all going back home. I cannot put a curse on these people. And we also read that when they went back to King Barak and told them that Balaam said, no, he's not coming. We told him what you told us, and he's not coming. The king gathered up some more administrators. He said they were more distinguished than the first ones that he sent, and it was more of them. Notice what they said to Balaam, and this is what I told you, remember, in that verse. Do not let anything. The 16th verse. Do not let anything keep you from coming to me. And this is what the king said to him. Now, some people question, I've heard and I've seen written by different other writers about they were wishy-washy about what's going on with Balaam. Some said he was good, some say he was bad. It's not a problem here. If the king gave a command for you to come, you were supposed to come. If you refuse that command, yes, there would be repercussions. You can't refuse the king. How many of you, when you were younger, maybe you watching your cartoonies or whatever it is you're doing, playing with your toys or whatever. Mom, dad said, hey, come here, come here. And you might even look up at him. And you won't move. Y'all ain't going nowhere. Some of you said if I had did that, I might not be here to hear this conversation today. I don't know. But you ain't gonna just ignore your folks like that. Because there's gonna be repercussions. So what do you think happened when the king commands? He didn't ask. This wasn't say, well, do you mind coming, Balaam? No, you get here, don't let nothing, anything keep you from coming to me. Anything. Well, God in his infinite wisdom, realizing that if Balaam didn't go, Balaam could suffer some consequences. So what we see here in this 20th verse, God came to Balaam. God came to Balaam. Balaam didn't go back and say anything else to him, but God came to him and said to him, since these men have come to summon you, in other words, since they have come and demanded that you go, but do only what I tell you. Now, I want to point out, even before that 20th verse, between that 16th verse, where he said, don't let anything keep you from coming to me, and for what happened in the 20th verse, take note of what Balaam said in that 18th verse. Okay. He said, even if Balak gave me all this silver and gold in this palace, I couldn't do anything great or small to go beyond the command of who? The Lord my God. The Lord my God. Some of y'all saying, wait a minute, I've read all kinds of scripture about Balaam in the book of Numbers, even Micah. And I've read a few verses and they point to him as not being a good person. But yet he's talking about the Lord, his God. Is he indeed a believer? I look at the gifts that he got. And how he was so sure not to do anything contrary to what God would have nothing to do with that gift. And y'all wondering, but look at this. Don't ignore what's right in front of you. Why is he even entertaining the thought of this? Not just because he came from the king. Okay, the king offered him a whole lot of money, a whole lot, and said that he would do whatever he said. That's a lot of temptation. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of deep detail. That's why I gave you the passage of scripture to look into it for yourselves. But Balaam, even though the king kept coming to him, even though the king took him to different places, hoping that he would change, you know, what he would do, he kept asking to be cursed, and Balaam turned him down. To his credit, yes, he did. Okay. It's like the king took him to this area. Balaam, why don't you curse these people? I can't do it. Balaam, I can't do it. Took him over here. Balaam, don't you curse these people? I can't do it. I can't do it. This is what God has told me to tell you, and he will go on to tell him certain things. And he did this about a few times. Why? Why was Balaam allowing this to happen? Some of you are saying, well, that's the king. The king said, go, you got to go. Some are saying, because, wait a minute, Balaam was tempted. That money is a lot of money. Today, if somebody said, listen, I got this 10 million here, all you got to do is this, that. Boy, that's a lot of temptation. You start thinking about, oh, what I could do with this money. What a blessing I could be with this money. What I could do for the church with this money. What I can do in ministry with this money. All of that will go through your head. I said, don't curse him. Don't curse him. But I tell you what Balaam did. Didn't curse him. But what Satan does to us, Satan said, I can't do nothing with you, you saved, but this is what I'll do. Can't curse you. So what I'll do is I'll infiltrate you, okay? And I'll do some things in there. Have you do some things that are contrary to what God said for you to do. And I'll have him, I'll force him to deal with you. I know your father told you to when you get home from school to mop this floor. I'm not tell you to ignore your father, but what I will do is I'll put the new versions of these new cartoons that you like on TV. On your way home, I'll let that little girl, that little boy that you crushing over, I'll have them meet you and y'all start to talking and you know, I'll do this, I'll do that, and put that there. And next thing you know, Dad is coming home and the time is going by and you didn't do what you were supposed to do. Satan does all kind of tricks like that, but you don't have to take my word for it. Let me go a little bit further. Like I said, I'm not gonna keep you all day. Okay. Now, you see, Balaam was enticed. Yes, he was enticed by the money the king was offering him. And he also was afraid to disobey God by cursing these people. So he didn't. But I want you to learn a couple of things that he went on and did, as I just mentioned. One, I want you to get this. I told you some verses that I want you to pay attention to. I want you to get this here. And in these passages that I've given you to even look at, when you look deeper into them, I want you to observe a couple of things here. One, how God is teaching Balaam to be obedient when it comes to using the gift that he's been blessed with. Yes, he's been given the gift of prophecy. He's been given this gift. And God is showing him how to use it, even though you're being tempted to use it in a different way. But I want you to do what I want you to do with it. And you see how Balaam is wrestling with this thing. When you look deep into these scriptures, you'll see that Balaam's wrestling with this. But you don't have to take my word for it. I'll make it plain to you. Y'all stay with me. Okay. Some of you feel the same way. Yes, the Lord is giving you a gift. I know that there are some people, what I'm using is a very simple, easy thing. He's giving you a musical talent. We used that earlier. Maybe it's your voice. Maybe it's the instrument or instruments you can play. Your ability to write music, I don't know what it is. And you're wrestling. Because yes, I can get a hand, stay strictly with Christian music. I'm at a point, I'm starting with that way is it's hard for me to make any money than I gotta live. It's quicker. I can make it quicker. I can make it quicker in the regular field of music. I can make it money quicker, and then when I get myself established, I can come on back. And some people do that. I'm not saying yay, nay, right, wrong, or whatever. I'm not trying to judge it. I'm just pointing that out there. Okay. But in this case, Balaam is wrestling. All I gotta do is something simple, a curse, and I could be rich beyond my wildest dreams. But God said, don't do it. There should not even be any more thought here. God said, don't do it. That should be the end of it. But the simple fact that it isn't lets us know that Balaam was feeling the enticement of this money. Keep that in mind. Number two, I want you to keep in mind how God is showing us what happens when we compromise, when we justify, or when we rationalize the use of God's gift. Well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But God knows he'll get the glory out of what I intend to do with it, how I intend to have the church be blessed by it in this manner. He said, well, I don't see that yet. You will. I want you to, but I would, that's why I said I want you to keep this thought in mind. And I'm making all of this plain to you. And it's going to be quickly when I come at it. Balaam knew that he couldn't curse his people. Okay, but he let Barak know, and this is what you need to get, how that if the people were corrupted, God would punish them. Remember, I told you that earlier. I can't curse them, but we can corrupt them, and God will chastise. Wow. Compromising, rationalizing here, justifying here. I can't, I'm not going to curse them for you, but I'll show you how you can corrupt them. I'll show you how you can do that. Wow. Now this brings me to the latter part of our message. Like I said, I'm winding up. Now watch what he says in Revelation again. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. He said, well, wait a minute, I ain't see but one thing, but look at the three parts of it. Okay, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the what? Teaching of Balaam. Some great readings or writings, this is referred to as the doctrine of Balaam, but it refers to what is his teaching? What is the teaching? He taught Balak to entice the Israelites. You entice them? So that they eat food, sacrifice to idols. Yes, y'all worship idols, y'all people. Entice them to come and dine with you. Eat the same food that you sacrifice to your idols. Get them, you get them coming with y'all. And then your women. Let the women entice them to lay with them, fornicate with them. Do all of this here, enter to marry in with their people, to mix in with them like that. Let them do that. All the things God had told them not to do. Have them do that. and God will punish them. Because he's true to his word. We may be false to ours, but he's true to his word. You see, wow, look at how conniving Balaam was. Okay. And this is what he did. They were enticed to sin. They ate the food that was sacrificed to the idol gods, and they fornicated with these idol-worshipping women. They intermarried with them and brought them and got them basically what God said. You brought them into the family. Oh, that's just like what the church. Now you're getting it. Now you're getting it. Just like what the churches do today. We bring them in. We bring them into the family. Put them in positions and let them just intermingle with everybody else. Don't matter where they came from. Don't matter what they're believing. We're bringing them in with us. Beloved, I'm saying this here and I'm finished. To see if we can tie this all in. The Lord did not address his attention to fake Christians. When we look at it here in Revelation, watch what he said there. I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam. He's talking to his church, his people, his followers. But this is a problem I have with y'all. I told you that you shall live by faith, and that your faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I told you not to lean to your own understanding, but in everything that you do, acknowledge me. These are the things I told you to do. Trust my teaching. Trust my word. No, I'm not saying to you don't get your different degrees. I'm not saying to you, no, you should not finish school. But anytime in your going to school, anytime in you're getting taught by other folks, if they come across trying to tell you to do something that I told you not to do, this is where you're going to have to make a stand. And you're going to trust that I'm standing there with you. I realize that you can't do something, you can't get thrown out of school. You think I don't know that? I will show you how to make the stand that you need to make. I will show you what it is you need to say, what it is you need to do. You need to trust me. You trusted me enough to ask me, ask my permission for you to go to this school, for you to go get this training, for you to go get this degree. And if I allow you and said it's okay for you to go, then you have to trust that I'm there with you as you're going through it. As you're going through it. And as you're going through it, you find yourself put in a position where you have to make a stand for me. Understand that I'm standing there with you. So yes, okay, he didn't draw, but he did not draw his attention to the fake ones that are in the church. No, we want, like we said earlier, I want them in there. I want them in there. That's what you're there for. You minister to them, preach to them the word, teach to them the word. The old folks, you said, listen, the word of God is either going to drive you or draw you. You continue to preach the word of God is either going to draw them in or it's going to drive them out. You just preach the word, teach the word there. So yes, I'm not worried about them, but I'm concerned about you. You go around telling folks that you worship God. You go around telling people that you're a Christian. You go around telling folks that you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, you are following the teachings of Balaam. And you don't realize it? Let me make it clearer to you, okay? If you're not true to my word, if you're not doing what I tell you to do, if you are doing anything that is contrary to my will, my way, or my word, guess what? You're following the teachings of Balaam. You're following the teachings of Balaam. You don't believe me? Believe the word. What else are you following? What else is there for you to follow besides doing that what God has told you to do? This is exactly what Satan is doing in the church today. That same thing. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what it comes down to. That's just what Balaam was showing Barak. And that is exactly what Satan is still showing today. He's done that from the beginning. That's his formula. He did that even, you go back, he did that even with Eve. That's what he did. Same formula. Well, he said, why is Satan doing the same thing? Because it works. It works. Believers, he's finding all kinds of ways to entice you with what you see. He give you desire, these desires, what you see. It's not always that man that you're looking at, that woman that you're looking at, but a lot of times it is. A lot of times it's the house that you see, the car that you see, the clothes that you see, the neighborhoods that you see, the places that you love to go to, all of these different things, the lust, the desires that you see of the eye. The desires of the flesh. Again, some of the same things that we just mentioned. Women, men, drugs, alcohol, different things that the body desires or should desire. I should say, not should in the sense that it's the right thing, but the things that the body is beckoning. The effects of it, what it will do for you, the effects of what this drug will do, what this alcohol will do. That's the point I'm getting across. Okay. And if you take this, you'll be on cloud nine. You'll be able to do this. If you take that, you'll be able to do this. That's what I mean by talking about what these things sin that they should do for you. And these are in lust, these become desires, things that you crave. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, then the pride of life. Positions, power, authority, all these things. He'll either entice you to want them, or if you're in position already, put people that will challenge you. Oh, you're king. You try to tell me you can't do this? You're the president. You try to tell me you can't do that? You're this person. Can't you do this? Deacon, can't you do that? Preacher, pastor, can't you do this? The pride of life, your position. People will flaunt themselves at you, towards you, because of your position. I remember being in different conferences and different meetings with different people, and I would, especially for men, and I would tell them, do you think, here you are old. You may not be old and decrepit enough, but you're older men now, mature men. You're trying to think that with all the young, handsome, muscular, well-built, men there are out here, these young 20-year-old girls or whatever age they are, want you just because you don't fool yourself. Satan is still busy at work. I'm not saying that cannot happen. But let's be realistic on the thing. But in any case, Satan entices you that way. That's what he does. And that's his formula. And that was the same thing Balaam was showing Barak. Entice these people, corrupt them, and God will deal with them. Every time a believer does something that he or she knows is contrary to God's word, they are compromising, justifying, or rationalizing God's word, God's will, and God's way for their life. They're doing it. I said it. Stand by it. I know I should not be doing this. But if I do this, right, wait, I'll start trying to justify it, start trying to rationalize it. And if I do this, hey, well, God knows I can do this or I'll be able to do it. Now I'm starting to compromise. Every time. Why would I say that? Because it's nothing more than a temptation. And God has provided a means of escape from these temptations. If I choose not to take that means, then I'm doing one, if not all of those three things. Okay? I'm almost finished, y'all. Every time a believer does something that he or she knows is contrary to God's word, like I just said, they are compromising, justifying, or rationalizing God's way, his will, and or his word to suit his or her desire. Simple as that. I want this. I want that. I want her. I want him. I want that position. I want that notoriety. I want this. I want that. And all I have to do is this, or that. And you start trying to figure out ways where that's not so bad. I'm not doing so wrong. I'm not doing what other people do it. Everybody else is. You start trying to what? Rationalize, justify, compromise. Oh my gosh. You start fooling yourself. Okay. When a believer does this, I didn't say if he does it, is when. Why would I say that? Because the Lord inspired John to write to the church. He had the problem with folks, with believers who do this. So we know that they do it. When a believer does this, it's like they are putting a shade over themselves. Like you're covering yourself up. The world might be able to see you, but your light is so dim. Your light has become so dim. They see you. You look funny with your light covered up with that shade over yourself. There are far too many believers doing this. Far too many. Okay? And you do this by the way that you're living, by the things that you're doing, the thing that you're saying, the compromises that you're making. Being able to justify and rationalize what you're doing. Letting opportunities for you to be that witness for the Lord go by. Realizing that your family that's looking at you, that those who are close enough to see you, they don't expect you to partake of a whole lot of things that even they will ex invite you to do. They expect for you to say no. They act like they're disappointed. But in the back of their mind, they say, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's that Christian. He ain't go. We told him, hey, man, we going to the pin relays. And I know it's Wednesday night, and I know you usually have Bible study, but it's the pin relays. It only happens once a year. And the guys that are going, I mean, they came back to town, back to Philly, just so they can go. You haven't seen them in 10 years, 20 years, or whatever. And man, you ought to go. Boy, that is so enticing. How much is it going to take to say, nah, I can't go. That's my Bible study night. I'm sorry. They're going to act like they're disappointed, but they'll be able to walk away and say, man, you know, hey, listen, he ain't going to compromise his belief in that. He's strong in what he believes. He believes, and they'll respect you for that. A lot of us don't realize that. We want to be liked as opposed to being respected. But that's a different matter. Like I said, it's far too many of us who are willing to sacrifice in that area. This because of, and because that there's so many of us that are doing that, that kind of answers the question to Denise Williams saw. How come the church is not as effective? How come the church is not doing this? How come the church's voice is not heard in this matter? Because we're whispering. Our voices are covered up with shame that people can't even hardly hear you and understand. They can't hear you and understand. Because you're not speaking with power. You're not speaking with conviction. You're not standing on your own. On your own convictions. You're compromising. Little thing that you take for granted. Well, good God knows my heart. Sure, He knows your heart. But you'll be out here to be witnesses to the world. The world don't know your heart. They know what they see. They know what they hear you say, what they see you do, where they see you go. Didn't the Lord send us out here to do this? And that's why He said, I got a problem with y'all guys in Pergamum. I got a problem with you. You're saying one thing and you're doing some decent things, but no, you're following the teachings of Balaam. And I'm gonna tell y'all. I'm gonna tell you. I'm calling you on it. Don't make me have to come back and deal with y'all on it personally. Some of us need to look at our lives. See if we see that same spirit of Balaam walking, dealing with us, those same teachings, that same doctrine. Are we acting the same like that church in Pergamum? How much compromising? How much justifying? How much rationalizing are we doing? I'm gonna say this church and I'm done. Okay. Some of us are saying, wow. It seemed like it's so much. No, it's not. No, it's not. We need to understand when it comes to doing things God's way, we cannot do it. I can't do it. I don't know of any man or woman that can. But I do know that if I'm allowing the Lord to work through me, if I'm putting all of my trust, all of my faith, all of my help, everything that I need to make it, if I'm doing it through the Lord, I can do it all. I can do all these things. Because when I say I'm doing it through the Lord, I'm asking Him for the strength. I'm asking Him for the wisdom. He's doing just that. You need to know, you need more wisdom, look into my word. You need more understanding, ask me, I'll give it to you. You need to be able to know how to interpret my word. I'll give you the wisdom. Because it's knowledge that you need. You just continue to look into my word. I'll get it. The knowledge is there. The wisdom and understanding, I'll grant it to you. This is what we need. And why do we do this? Because we want to be able to do our part. When it comes, to help to complete the God's great commission, I want to do my part. And you say, well, I can't do my part unless I become part of the family. I need to be born again, like Jesus says. I need to be born again. I'm a sinner, a rank sinner, maybe. Paul said he was chief amongst sinners. Some of you are saying, Paul ain't had nothing on me. I want to be better. I need to be cleaned up. I need to be born again. And the only way this can happen is if Jesus does it. So, Lord, I come to you right now. Save me. Make me born again. I want to be part of your family. I want to be part of those who are witnessing. I don't want to have my light dim, covered up, shaded. I want to let my light shine. But I first need to have a light. Lord, please save my soul. Some of you are praying that right now. And I'm here to let you know it doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you're doing. If you really feel that moved in your heart that you want the Lord to save your soul, then you stop what it is you're doing. He said, I don't know if I can stop all day. I didn't ask you to stop all day. Stop now. Pray to the Lord from your heart if this is how you feel in your heart. Lord, save my soul. Yes, I got the pipe in one hand. I got my smoke in one hand. I got my alcohol in one hand. But Lord, I'm praying to you. I lift up my other hand to you. Matter of fact, Lord, I can sit this down for a minute, and I lift my hand to you, and I'm asking you, Lord, to save me right now. Deliver me right now. I want to be one of your children. Search my heart, Lord. I don't know even know what to say all the way. Lord, just search my heart and pull from my heart how I really feel. I can't put it into words. All I know, Lord, is I want to be saved. I want to be part of your family. Do whatever it takes. I don't know the right words to say, but whatever it takes to make me that, Lord, you do it. I've tried it time and time again, and it hasn't worked. You, Lord, you do this for me. And for that one who's on the side, head bowed, feeling humble, feeling like you can't even lift your head up to talk to the Lord because you say, Lord, I am one of your children. I've done this before, and I went back and I fell back. Lord said, okay, you're still my child. Get up. Lift your head up. Come on. I still got work for you to do. My love for you hasn't changed. Come on. Over there where you stopped, pick it right back up right there. Go on back out there. Minister like you used to. I had you singing. You said, well, Lord, I've been out here doing stuff and my voice is gone. You get back over there. Watch what I do. You said you want to be restored. You think I can't restore your voice to you? If that was the ministry I told you to perform, and you really, really sincerely want to pick your ministry back up, get over there. Believe what I can do for you and watch. You got to believe. Stop trying to figure it out. Just believe. Stop trying to understand it all. Just believe. Watch me work. Whatever you do. Whatever you do, beloved, today, whatever you do, take the shade off of your light, or else, one God doesn't cover you. You don't want him to uncover. Because he'll uncover all, you'll be naked before the world. You take the shade off of your light. What else? God said, okay, you want me to come and handle it? I'll handle it. I'll handle you. And all I know, I said, no, Lord, you told me to do it. I'll do it. You just got to give me some more strength. It's not easy for me. And you said, okay, I'll give it to you. I'll give you wisdom. I don't hold back. I'll upbraid him not, he said. I'll give it to you so that you can continue my work. Take the shade off of your light, or else. God bless you, beloved. Heaven smile upon you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for you enlightening us in your word. We pray, Father, that you're pleased with what we have said and that your word has been rightly divided. For those who have heard your word, Father, we pray, Lord, that you grant them the wisdom and understanding, Father, that it may truly be light for them as well. And again, Lord, as we go through this day, let us do so, Lord, with our whole armor of God on. And allow us, Lord, to govern ourselves in such a manner that even those in the world will be able to see you through us, that you might get the glory and the honor out of our life living. This we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, beloved. Heaven smile upon you.